All right, well, it's good to see everybody this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. A lot of fellowshipping going on, but we're going to, I guess, put a stop to that. So, all right, let's all stand as we start off this morning. Let's say our theme verse together. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Turn over to our theme song, 89. Pretty familiar with that song at this point. 89, all the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, my faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see, gushing from before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Amen. Good to be in God's house today, and it looks a little little different today, but we're in preparation for Vacation Bible School and looking forward to this outreach into our community and to the young people, and just neat. Already been able to see some kids signed up for it and different homes, and just excited about what God's going to do. We'll be in prayer for this throughout this week as we are involved starting on Wednesday, but just excited. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, consecrate this day in the service to Him. Dear Father, we come before You because You are the only and true God. Lord, we know that Your word is true, that's eternal, that Your judgments and Your decisions, Your law will be established. Lord, that everything that You purpose and decide will come to pass. And Father, we know that You have decreed our salvation. Lord, You have purposed our redemption. And we thank You and praise You, Lord, for our forgiveness from our great sins. And Lord, from our wickedness. And we have offended Your great love. We have done despite to You. And yet You have loved us still. And You have reached out and You have forgiven us and You have drawn us to Yourself. And so, Father, we give You thanks and praise and glory today that we could even stand here. It's not by any merit of ourselves, because of what You have done for us. And Father, we have heard even this morning the great burden that You have called us to share in Your heart for this lost world, to share in Your rejection, to share in Your mission. And so, Father, we just praise You, O Lord, that we can participate, be co-workers with You. And Father, we pray that You would help us, Lord, to be willing and obedient. May You use this day to fashion our lives more like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, call us to take up our cross and to follow you. And Lord, may you use us for your glory. And someday, Lord, we'll stand before your throne and we'll hear you say, well done. You will grant us that crown of righteousness that you have promised to all those who love your appearing. And so, Lord, we look forward to that day. We even cry out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Rescue us, Lord, from this deep, dark world and bring your kingdom here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Welcome you to our service today. We are so glad to have the Gonzalez family here, and they're with AGM, the same as the Davises, and they are just in a town in Burlington doing a fair, and they were able to come down and present their work today, and so I hope you'll get the opportunity to talk to them. They'll not be able to be here this evening. They need to go up in this afternoon, so this is our opportunity to get to know them, ask them questions, and we really were stirred in the Sunday school hour, and Brother Gonzalez is going to preach for us here in just a little bit. I know that's going to bless your heart. Just a few notes about today, some announcements, just looking in the bulletin. If you're a part of Jamie Geyer's serving team, didn't have a meeting after the morning service here. And then also today we're going to have a building committee meeting at 5 o'clock, or evening service at 6. We are having the Lord's Supper tonight. And so looking forward to sharing in the communion of the Lord Jesus and His body and His blood. And so there's an element there that we look forward to this. This is not an option for us really as believers. God commands us to do this as often as you do it. And we ought to be doing it. We ought to be participating in this. So this is a great opportunity for us as believers to examine our hearts and to draw closer to Him. I invite you to be a part of that this evening. And then following our Lord's Supper time, we'll actually have a Vacation Bible School workers' meeting. So everyone that wants to be a part of Vacation Bible School, plan to be there this evening. We'll get everyone on the same page and preparation for that. That's going to be exciting. Also, we are going to be doing some more work with decorations on Monday, so if you haven't had an opportunity to get in, you want to, we have gone a long way, and I appreciate the hard work of all those that have been involved. We're going to do a little bit more getting things ready, and so if you can tell in here, it's going to be Chinese decorations. Our missionary story is about Hudson Taylor, and so the work that God did through him, God used his story in my life in a very personal way, and I'm looking forward to the young people hearing about that. And the main area is going to be like an airport terminal. And you can, if you went through the scanner, I hope you put your valuables through the scanner and everything as you came in this morning. And but no, it's going to be fun, and the kids are going to be getting a passport and all right, and working towards destinations and prizes and things like that, memorizing scripture and having a good time. So if you have a brochure, we've got plenty of these. So please pass them out. Let people in your neighborhood, your grandkids, neighbor kids, let them know that this is going on. And you never know how just a simple invite, God will use that to bring some child, and then, Lord willing, a whole family to the Lord through this time. So be in prayer for that throughout this week. And then also, I'm a little ahead of myself. We are having that workers' meeting. Just to reiterate it, we are having Vacation Bible School, but it's not starting on Monday. It's starting on Wednesday. And so that's a little different, a little weird, but we'll go Wednesday through Sunday, and we'll have a Vacation Bible School Sunday next week right here. And so this is an opportunity for us to invite unsaved families to be a part of our worship time. And so we'll have a blending of Vacation Bible School with songs and a story for the kids, but also parts of our service, normal worship service. And so come, we're going to have some hot dogs, some ice cream, and encouraging families to hang around and just to fellowship with them and to reach out to them. You're going to see some people here that are not saved. And by your friendship and by your gospel testimony, we can see them one to the Lord. So I encourage you to be here next week. We want the house of the Lord to be full and to bring honor to His name. And then also for Wednesday night this week, we are planning on doing things normal this Wednesday. So just as your normal Wednesday nights, RU and other parts of the service, and the evening jail ministry as well will continue. Then the following week, normally we have teen VBS at the same time, but it's actually going to be offset by a week, and so starting next Monday will be the Teen Challenge, so we'll be inviting young people for that. So, all right, confused yet? We have our Family of the Week, and that is Matt and Becca Wood. So if you guys would like to stand, if you're able. No. Alan paid me to say that. No. What can we pray for you guys about this week? Amen. Amen. Very neat. I have to look behind and see if Becca's wearing pink or not. So, but you guys look so... Oh, that's neat. So, all right. And then also be in prayer this week for our missionary family, Jake and Ramona Allen. They are missionaries to Hungary, and they are... he's still learning the language, and they're participating in a church plant there. And so just continue to ask the Lord to get them acclimated and to see more opportunities of outreach there as they are expanding, get into year 2 and 3 in the ministry, and they begin to really start seeing those open doors. So continue to pray for them throughout this week. So, all right, we're going to continue to sing and praise the Lord together.
Well, I am going to tease the pastor just because that's what I like to do. So when I got the song list this week, I almost sent back something, a reply. It's like if he was ill or something, because all the songs we're going to sing this morning, you're familiar with. So, you know, you know them. But I will say this in all seriousness. I love a challenge, and I appreciate the pastor that he picks those songs that do stretches. So I'm glad for that. But the song, go ahead and stand. The song we're going to sing this morning is The Old Rugged Cross. And folks that are associated, George Bernard wrote this song, and words and music. And folks that were friends and associates with him knew that this song was destined for great things when it was written, when it was brand new. And humbly, George Bernard stated that he was just the instrument that God divinely used to write this song. And I want to read, I have three different hymn histories that I have, that I own. And all of them, I was thankful that all of them were consistent in the account of this song. But I want to read this last one that Ken Osbeck, the last paragraph that Ken Osbeck wrote. It says, although it has often been stated that we do not worship the cross as such, but rather the Christ of the cross, one cannot ponder the truth of Christ's atonement without a keen awareness of the centrality of the cross in God's plan of redemption for lost mankind. So I thought that was a great statement. So let's all sing the old rugged cross and then remain standing for reading of God's word.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of supreme and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Attraction for me, for the dear. and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
All right, this morning, if you'd open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy chapter 24, and we will begin reading in verse 8 for today's scripture reading this morning. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 8, where it says, "And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." You may be seated. At this time, we'll spend a few moments in prayer individually to our God.
Amen. Thank the Lord for that cross that He has given to us. We're going to take up our regular scheduled offering as a offering of worship to the Lord. And what we give to Him, the Bible says that we ought not to show up before His presence empty-handed. That we ought to come with an aspect of realizing He is the giver of all to us, and He desires in us to give back to Him. And this brings honor and glory to His name. And I'd like to ask Roger Lemmy, if you wouldn't mind just praying for our offering here this morning. Thank you.
you, Sierra and Isabel, for that offertory. Take your hymnals again. Turn to page 463, Blessed Assurance. I'd like to read a scripture, verse of scripture before we sing. Hebrews 10:22 says, Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled with an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. And then this song, of course, we've talked about Fanny Crosby. She wrote the words to this song, and she's written many, as we know. But I just wanted to also read a couple of quotes. This one is anonymously. It says, You may trust the Lord too little, but you can never trust Him too much. And then this one is my favorite from Ralph Waldo Emerson, for my love for the outdoors. He says, All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. So, blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, lost in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior. Song this morning is 419, Moment by Moment. This song kind of arose out of Daniel Whittle and some friends had just attended his church service, and they had sang the hymn "I Need Thee Every Hour." And as they were discussing, one gentleman made the comment that, "No, we need Him every moment. We need Him moment by moment." So let's all stand as we sing this, 419, Moment by Moment. Dying with Jesus by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, oh. seated. My pleasure to introduce to you Ray Gonzalez and his wife, and he is going to come and preach the word to us, and if it's anything like Sunday school, you are going to be blessed, so I'm looking forward to it. Get your Bibles ready.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that, Pastor. Well, good morning again, and I'm sorry you have to deal with my broken English for a few minutes again, but for me, it's a blessing to hear. You know, we are on the same page here because the first word that I saw when I came here this morning was the word Deuteronomy.
Amen. Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I forgot to do something. All right, today we're going to dismiss the children's church, but everyone that's eligible for Vacation Bible School is welcome to go. That means sixth grade and under, and we'll get you guys registered for that this week. So a little bit different today, and I completely air-mailed it. Sorry.
It's all right. Yeah, as I was driving in this morning, I saw that sign that you have out there, and the first word that I read was the word Deuteronomy. And then they come and sing this morning, and they sing about faithful men and about Moses, and I'm going to be preaching about Moses this morning. So isn't that a blessing? So we read already the passage in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 8 through 12. If you can make your way there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 35, it's the last few verses of the book of Deuteronomy. And by the way, for those of you that 34, yes, Deuteronomy 34, verses 8 through 12. Those of you that have asked There in the back, we are not from Mexico. We are from Cuba, okay? We are Cubans, and yes, we eat tacos, but we don't have tacos in Cuba. I don't know. For some reason, this has happened to me multiple times when I visit churches in America. They think that all the Hispanics eat tacos, and that's just in a few countries. That's just in Mexico and probably Guatemala and Honduras, maybe. But other than that, there is no tacos everywhere else. So in Cuba, we don't have tacos. By the way, we have in the back like a little notebook that if you would like to be updated about what we do, and if that is okay, that you can sign over there and put your email over there. We're not going to do advertising or anything like that. Just once a month, you can get an update of what God is doing through our ministry. So if you go to the back and get a couple of those prayer cards and write your email over there, we can update you on a regular basis of what the Lord is doing. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 8 through 12. I'm going to read again really quick. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of the weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Verse 9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Verse 11, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Verse 12, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. The book of Deuteronomy is basically a complement to the book of Numbers. Deuteronomy means the second law. The generation that came out of Egypt had passed, and the law needed to be given to that second generation. Everything takes place in Moab, right across the promised land. The key word in this book, the key words in this book are observe, do, keep, and obey. Those are words that you see over and over again. It deals with Israel's responsibility to be a good testimony for the rest of the nations. If you go there to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For that nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So basically, they had a responsibility to proclaim to the world, to proclaim to the pagan nations that there was a God that was different, that there was a holy God with different judgments and statutes and instructions, that they were different people. However, we know the story. They never kicked all those pagans nations out of the promised land once they made it there and rejected the theocracy later, and even asked for a human king like the rest of the nations. They went after their sin and their idolatry, and Israel ended up first divided. Then both the northern and southern kingdoms were defeated by Assyria and Babylon, respectively. And only by the grace of God, some of them were given the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, restore the worship, and rebuild the walls. We know that from the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. But even after that happened, the moment Nehemiah, their leader at the time, went back to Persia, they went back to the same disorder, the same corruption, the same idolatry that caused them to be taken captive in the first place. The prophet Malachi had to intervene, and after 400 years of silence, the promised Messiah came to them and was rejected. In Matthew 12, they committed the unforgivable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That generation, therefore, was under judgment, and God's plan for Israel had to be paused. And we, the church, now has been entrusted to do what Israel failed to do, to proclaim to the nations around us that there is a God that is different, that there is a different life that we could live, to let the rest of the world know Jehovah God is the only true God, that he became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he came to earth, lived a sinless life, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost, as we read in the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. And there in the book of 1 Peter, we read, "But ye are chosen generation." Ye are a chosen generation. The word here is electos, which is not a verb. It doesn't mean that God chose who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. That's not the meaning. It's an adjective that means we are the best of its kind or class, a generation that is a royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. We belong to God. We are unusual. We are strange. That's the meaning of that. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord that now we have the tremendous opportunity to be a light in the midst of the dark and of this dark and confused society. But as we have a limited amount of time, we need to reflect on the way we're living our lives and how we are using the time that we are being given, the talents and the treasures that the Lord has entrusted us with. So going back here to Deuteronomy 34, in the context of this passage, we see the reaction of the people of Israel to the death of Moses. They are in verses 5 and through 7. The takeover of Joshua and a powerful summary of Moses' life and ministry in verses 8 through 12. One day, we don't know when, but one day, as Moses died, all of us will die. All of us will die. The question this morning for you all is this: what kind of legacy for the glory of God will we leave behind once we are gone? What kind of legacy will we leave behind once we are gone? The title of my message this morning is precisely that: Once We Are Gone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and blessings. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be at this wonderful church, just to present our ministry, to share our burden that you have given us, and to preach your word. Lord, I am an imperfect person preaching a perfect book. I need your help. I don't even know the language well, so I ask you to help me. And I ask you to help me be a help to your people that came here to listen to your word, not to my voice. Help me to be a blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Once we are gone. Evangelist Dave Kistler, he's not a personal friend of ours, but we got to meet him back in Miami, Florida, at a church we were at, and he would be invited multiple times to preach at that church. We got to talk to him a little bit, and we got to know his family a little bit. Again, we were not close friends or anything like that, but he would be like, "I am coming here and sharing and preaching today," and we get to talk and we get to know each other a little bit, and you get to know my wife or myself, and then I go my way and we don't see each other again. That was kind of the relationship that we had with him. He had a son. His name was Nathan Kistler. We met Nathan when he was probably 14, 13 years old. He had a tremendous voice for the Lord. He was a singer. He was growing in a Christian family, in a family of brother Dave, which is a servant of God. He had a ministry that is called Hope to the Hill. So you can look it up and pray for him. He has a ministry in the Capitol Hill, and he has a ministry to the elected officials and things like that. And he do like old-fashioned evangelism tents and stuff like that. Yesterday night, or a couple of nights ago, we were at the hotel coming back from the fair, and I got a call from a friend that we have in common with brother Dave Kistler. Nathan, his wife, his in-laws, the pilot, and another person died in a plane crash. Probably 27 years old. I know that you here, young people, you are not planning on dying. And when we, the ones that are older, We want to have more opportunities to continue to serve Jesus and continue to see our children and our grandchildren. I don't have a grandchild, but those of you who does, to see our grandchildren to grow. We want them to graduate. We want them to go to college. We want them to probably get involved in the ministry or serve Jesus one way or the other. But we never know when it's going to be our last day on planet Earth. Once we are gone, people will talk. People will go to my funeral. People will go to your funeral. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I live alive in such a way that even though if I die, I'm not going to be here to see it, but let's say that I die tomorrow or today, or we never know when. And it's my funeral going on, and I want people to go to that lady over there and talk to her and say, hey, I know that you're suffering. I know that you're going through a tremendous amount of pain, and I know that there is no words that I could say that could encourage you, and you just need to cry. And I'm here to give you my shoulder for you to cry with me, and God will take care of you, but now you just need to cry your pain. But I want you to know this. The man that is in that casket was a blessing to my life. The man that is in that casket was a blessing to my family, was a blessing to my ministry. That's the kind of life that I want to live. You know, there are people in this world like Nathan that if you see his father put the information available for their followers on social media, and he has been receiving a tremendous amount of feedback and people saying that they love Nathan, that they love him, and you know, that they are suffering with him because of this tragedy, because this kid was an influence to people. Even though he was a young guy, he was serving the Lord, and he was being a blessing to people. That's the kind of life that I want to live. I don't want to be reminded by the one that was a gossiper, or by the one that was a complainer, or by the one that was not serving the Lord. I want to be reminded by the one that understood that he was a filthy sinner in the eyes of the Lord and at the foot of the cross, and he understood that he needed a Savior, and that he turned his life to him, and he started living a life to praise him and to bring honor and glory to him. That's the kind of life that I want to live, and that's the kind of life that Moses lived. I want to show you three things here in the next few minutes from this passage about Moses. Number one, we will see, once we are gone, what will be said about our influence. Number two, we will see what will be said about our relationship with the Lord. And number three, what will be said about our service. What will be said about our influence? What will be said about our relationship with the Lord? And what will be said about our service? We see in the passage here, let's go back and read again verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, and the children of Israel wept for Moses. Let me ask you something. If you die today, people will mourn, or will it make a party? But thank God, we are no longer have to suffer this guy. You know, there are people like that in this world, unfortunately. And I know that there are no one like that here, but in other churches that I go, I have seen people like that. Christians like that. Now, yes, they are saved. Yes, they are on their way to heaven, but their faces, they don't realize that they are saved. They are saved from this point down. But they are like mad and always complaining and gossiping and speaking evil about others and always against the vision of the pastor. I know that we don't have people like that here, but unfortunately in other churches that I go, I've seen people like that. Bible says here that the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of the weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And it says here, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. And it says here, for Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. What will be said about your influence? He was a tremendous influence for Joshua. Are you being a good influence to somebody? We will definitely be an influence to others, either for the good or for the bad. But you are influencing somebody else's life. And you need to take care of your life in a way that when people look at you, they will see the right influence. I'm glad to see young people here in this church. I like to see people, different ages, and that's a tremendous blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. But every single one of us, there is somebody that is looking at our life. How are we influencing somebody else's life? And you know that we live in a world that wants to influence our minds. We are in a spiritual battle. And it's a battle for your mind. Whoever or whatever controls your mind will control you. Whoever or whatever controls your mind will control you. And I'm probably sure that you know that our young people are being bombarded by philosophies and things that are against the word of God. They want our young people to believe that God didn't create a man and a woman. That they don't even know what a woman is. They don't even know what they are. I was reading the other day about this guy in London. He believes he's a dog. And he lives in a cage. This is real. This is not an illustration. This is real. This guy lives in London and he believes that he's a dog. And he lives in a cage. And his wife is taking him out to pee to the park in the mornings. That's the kind of world that we're living in. And in this world, in a world like this, we need to stand firm for the truth of the Word of God. And we need to make sure that we are properly influencing the people and the generations that are coming after us, as Moses did with Joshua. Moses had laid his hand upon him. The Bible says, the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, as I was saying, it's a battle for your mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we need to do for the next generation. We will be an influence to others, whether it be for the good or for the bad. I like this passage in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word that is translated glory there is the Greek word doxa. This word doxa also means opinion. So basically, the Bible is teaching us here indirectly that we need to conform our opinions to God's opinion. So we need to be transformed to His image. We need to think the way He thinks. We need to act the way He acts. We need to conduct ourselves the way He conducted Himself, Jesus, when He was here. We need to change our mind so we can be a good influence. We cannot allow philosophies to come into our minds. We cannot allow this world to put that dirt into our minds. We are expected to be a good influence. And no matter how old you are, you have that responsibility. Once you are gone, what will be said about your influence? You are influencing people, whether it be for good or for bad. We will influence others either for good or for bad. And again, that has nothing to do with your age. I don't know how young you are. I don't know how old you are. I don't know if you are a grandfather or a single man. You are being looked by somebody. Somebody is looking up to you one way or the other. If you have siblings and you are the older one, they are looking up to you. If you have children, they are looking up to you. And you have responsibility, no matter your age, regardless of your age. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You need to show Jesus' character to others. You need to show yourself and conduct yourself and your life in a way that you're bringing honor and glory to God, and people that are coming after you, they will see Jesus in you. There are people out there that the only Bible that they will read will be your life. And everywhere we go, in some sense, we are carrying Jesus' honor on our shoulders. And whatever we say, do, the way we behave, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we interact with others, that's what they're going to think that being a Christian is. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of listening to people saying, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Have you heard that before? Full of hypocrites. And unfortunately, again, I know that there are no hypocrites here, but other places I go, churches have hypocrites. Yes, they have hypocrites. And that is no good. We shouldn't have that kind of testimony. We shouldn't be like that. Of course, they are just looking for, you know, for a way to get rid of their responsibility to do their part for God. Because the places where they work at is full of hypocrites. And the places where they go and do groceries is also full of hypocrites and their neighbor. But you know what? Don't be that hypocrite. Don't be the one that is causing other people to be away from the truth because of the way we live. We should live in a way that is attracting people. Whether you are a young person, let no man despise thy youth. Whether you are in your 60s, 70s, 80s. Look at the book of Psalms 92, please. Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. Psalms 92, verse 12. The Bible says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Look at that. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. So regardless of how young you are, how old you are, you have a responsibility to be a good influence to go to those coming up behind you. What will be said about your influence once you are gone? Will people make a party? Or will people will take time to remember all the things that God used you to do? Will people will learn lessons from your life and get the encouragement that they need to keep serving Jesus and keep going forward? We are being an influence to others, whether it be for the good or for the bad. But also, we are being influenced by others, especially by the philosophies of this world. And we need to take care of our mind. We need to make sure that we don't allow those things to get into our minds. So we can be a good influence to other people. We are expected to be the right influence to the next generation. Moses, then Joshua. And my question is, who is coming after you? Me, then who? Am I working on somebody else's life? Am I investing in somebody else's life? Am I taking the time to disciple new believers? Am I taking the time to be an example to others? I remember one of the classes that I took when I was studying at the seminary, Christian pedagogy. Basically, pedagogy would be like the science of education, or it's related to education, right? And I remember my professor, he would always tell us there are three different ways to teach people. One way is formal teaching, and that would be what is happening here now. Somebody is speaking, teaching, or preaching, and the rest are listening, taking notes, formal teaching. There is informal teaching, when we just go to a coffee shop and we sit together, or we go to lunch together and we talk about Jesus and we talk about the Bible, and I learn from you and you learn from me, and I encourage you and you encourage me, and we learn from one another. But there is what they call formative teaching, which is people learn by watching you doing it. So that's when you get your little son and you say, hey, let's go to the car and let's fix it together so that you learn how to fix it. So that's when you say, let's go out there soul winning. And you will see the way I do it. And you will learn. And sooner than later, you will be able to do it yourself. It will be come to me to Vacation Bible School and be my assistant this year. And maybe next year you will be ready to take your own class. We need to be a blessing. We need to be an influence. And we need to make sure that we ourselves are not influenced by things that are wrong, by things that are away from God's will and from God's word. When we die, what will people do? Will they miss us or will they have a party celebrating that we are no longer around? Will somebody stand up at your funeral and be able to give words of encouragement to your loved ones there for the things that you did for the glory of God that was a blessing, that were a blessing to that person? So number one, once we are gone, what will be said about our influence? But number two, look at verse 10 here. It says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Once we are gone, what will be said about our relationship with the Lord? What will be said about that? Are we going to be reminded by being people of God, by being people that pray, that by being people that serve the Lord, by being people that were always reading the Word of God and asking questions and growing and learning? Moses was a man of prayer. Look at Exodus chapter 19 and verse 9. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 9. Look what the Bible says there. I'm sorry, chapter 19 and verse 19. Sorry about that. Chapter 19 and verse 19. Bible says, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. God answered him by a voice. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that had full access to God's presence. The book of Numbers, chapter 12, Numbers. Chapter 12 and verse 6. Take a look at that with me. Numbers chapter 12. Verses 6 through 8. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So he was a man of prayer. He was a man that had full access to God's presence. You know that there are Christians in other places that I go that they don't have time to pray. They are so focused in making money. They are so focused in these earthly things that they don't have time for spiritual things. And the work that we do for the Lord, this that is going to happen here next week, and I'm sorry that I'm going to miss the ice cream and the hot dogs, but this that will happen next week is a spiritual job. Don't come and don't try to do this in the flesh. It's not going to work. You need to pray. You need to ask God for his blessings. You need to be in God's hands. You need to look into his word. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot do God's work in the flesh. Maybe you can do things for God in the flesh, but it's not going to be as powerful. Moses was a man of prayer. Moses was also a man of character. Look, go back to Numbers 12. Numbers chapter 12. Now, in verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was a meek person. We don't like meekness in this society. We think these days that being meek is being dumb, you know? But it's not like that. Meekness is a great thing to have. We need to be people of character, but not worldly character, but spiritual character. We need to be like Jesus. He was meek. Moses was meek. And this is the kind of people that we need to be. We need to do God's work full of the Holy Spirit, but also showing meekness to people. We are not to be harsh to people. We are not to, look to people down. And unfortunately, we are living in a time here in America where this critical race theory, you know, is part of the thing that we have, the things that we have today. And they want to divide based on race and based on gender. And people are fighting each other and offending each other and mistreating each other. We are all sinners at the foot of the cross. And we are all in need of a Savior. And we need to have that humbleness in our hearts. We need to understand that we are no one and nothing without the grace of the Lord. And we need to look at people as equal. Actually, it's even more than that. The Bible tells us to look at people as if they were better than us. But our pride gets in the way. And sometimes God cannot use us because we are prideful. And we need to be meek, as Jesus was meek, as Moses was meek. That's the kind of character that we need to have in the New Testament here for us today in the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 5. Bible says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Satan will do as much as he can to take advantage of the fact that we are all prideful to some extent. But we need to be careful, because people that are prideful are not people that are influencing others in the right way. And we need to be meek. We need to have character. We need to have character like Jesus. We need to have his character. We need to be humble. We need to be meek. We need to be available. We need to be willing. We need to be servants. We need to put others first. We need to put the needs of others before our own needs. But this society will teach you otherwise. This society will teach you to put yourself number one. This society will teach you, and psychology will teach you, that you cannot help anybody until all your needs are met. And then you will be ready to help other people. It's not like that. Christianity is not about me. Christianity is not about you. Christianity is about others. And we have to be willing to be a blessing to others. Moses was a man of prayer. Moses was a man of character, but he also was a man of action. The book of Exodus, chapter 32. Exodus 32, verse 25. Exodus 32. And verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses," look at this, "stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." Yes, we have to be meek. Yes, we have to be people of prayer. Yes, we have to be humble. Yes, we have to think of others. But also, we have to stand in the gap, and we need to stand firm for this book, and we need to be able to proclaim the truth with mercy and truth. Iniquity is first. And we need to be willing to stand up for what is right. We do it in meekness. I think of Daniel, for example, when he was there and they were trying to push unto him and his friends this diet. And he was not an arrogant person saying, I don't eat things like that. No, he didn't act like that. He said, hey, would you let me Would you let me for a few days take my own diet and let's see what happens afterwards? With meekness, but with convictions. And that's the kind of Christians that we need today. We need people that are meek. We need people of character. We need people that are humble. But at the same time, we need people of action. We need people that are willing to stand firm for the principles of this book. We need to have biblical convictions. And we need to be willing to die for it if it is needed. We are not suffering any persecution in America, basically, if you compare our situation to the situation of other people. Yesterday night, I was getting messages from a guy in Mexico. And in that particular community, and this happens in Mexico in many places, police officers don't get into there. The government has no authority in that areas. They govern themselves. And they have their own gods. And if you want to be a Christian there, you will suffer persecution. They will kick you out. They won't allow your children to go to schools. They will cut your electricity. They will do anything they can to go against you. And there are people, as I speak now this morning, that are standing firm, even in places like that. And here in America, we have a tremendous blessing. We have freedom to speak out loud, and we have freedom to proclaim that Jesus saves. We have that freedom. Sometimes we just don't take advantage of that freedom. The ministry of Moses was, in a sense, a foreshadowing of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one whom God used to free Israel from slavery. Jesus Christ is the one who gave us freedom from the condemnation and the power of sin. And one day he will come back and will free us from the presence of sin. Moses interceded for Israel before God, and Jesus Christ today intercedes on our behalf before God the Father. Every time the enemy of our souls goes and accuses us, we are to stand in the gap between earth and hell and intercede for those lost souls that are desperately need to be freed as we have been freed, by sharing the gospel, by expanding our missionary programs through the local church, by reaching out to the community, whether it be Vacation Bible School or door knocking or marketplace evangelism or open air, whatever it might be. But this world needs us Christians to stand up for the truth of God's word. They want to sexualize our children. They want to impose their mentality, their perversion in the mind of our youth. They want the best from us, our children. So, yes, we have to be meek. Yes, we have to be humble. But we also have to be people of action. Moses was a person that influenced others the right way, but also he was a person who is reminded by having a tremendous relationship with the Lord. Even God listened to him at some points during his life and listened to him. And instead of executing his judgment just because Moses was willing to stand in the gap, God was merciful. Once we are gone, what will be said about our influence? We will be influenced by others. Whether for the good or the bad, we need to be careful. We will influence others, either for good or for bad. We are expected to be the right influence to the next generation. Number two, we have seen that what will be said about our relationship with the Lord. Moses was a man of prayer. Moses was a man of character. Moses was a man of action. And number three, what will be said about your service? Look at verse 11 here. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Moses was willing to leave behind his comfort to be used by God, and he is reminded by being a blessing, by being God's servant, by doing mighty things for the Lord. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, talking about faithful men this morning. Faithful men have come before us. And that's what we should strive for, to be faithful as they were faithful. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, and has seen him who is invisible. That's the kind of Christians that we should be. That's the kind of things that we should be reminded by once we are gone. Moses was willing to leave behind his comfort. But today we live in a society that is all about comfort. We live in the microwave society. We want everything like this quick. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to pay the price. We want everything to be easy. We don't want to make an effort. We don't want to present ourselves a living sacrifice. We want everything to be taken care of by others. And then we are just complaining. Why China? Why, instead of China, why we didn't decorate using a country in Europe? That decision was made when you were not here. Okay? So maybe if you would have been here, maybe we could have listened to your opinion, right? Those kind of Christians that are just complaining and murmuring and protesting for everything. Hey, we need to join those that are serving, and we need to pull together, and we need to work together as a family. Satan will divide us if we don't focus. We have to be willing to leave behind the comfort. We don't have time for God. We don't have time for soul winning. We believe that church is only coming on Sunday mornings and on Wednesdays, because many don't even come back on Sunday evenings. This is not mine, but somebody have said everybody goes to church on Sunday morning. Pastor's friends go back on Sunday evenings, and Christians go on Wednesdays. That's not mine. Somebody said that, you know. But, you know, we need to be here every single day. Those doors are open, and we need to be willing to learn, and we need to be willing to get into this book on a daily basis, and we need to be willing to join the crew of those that are serving, that are influencing others the right way, and we need to wake up. The times are evil. And the only reason why you're here is because God has something for you that he wants you to do it. You need to find what is it that God has for you on this earth. What is it that he has for your family? What is it that he has for you personally? If you are saved this morning, you have been given at least one gift, one spiritual gift. You are responsible, not pastor. You are responsible to go to pastor and say, hey, I want to find my gift. I want you to train me so I can understand what is my position in God's word. What should I do to further the gospel? We are responsible for doing that. He was called to pastor sheep, not goats. You just let me put it that way. So you have to be a sheep, not a goat. But again, I know that we don't have goats here, but you know the churches that I go. The people that are always complaining, murmuring, and they just don't want to leave the comfort behind. Hey, I don't know how much money you have in your bank account or how comfortable is your car or your house. But this I know. Moses had more than that in that palace. And he was willing to leave all that behind just to serve Almighty God. Moses not only did that, but he was obedient to God's calling regardless of his weaknesses. Hey, don't believe Satan lies telling you that you cannot serve God. There is always something that you can do to be a blessing to others. Always. Oh, I don't know how to speak. Yeah, same as Moses. Oh, I'm afraid to talk to people. Same as Moses. You know what? You don't need to be talented. You don't need to be handsome. You don't need to be young. You just need to be willing. Willing. That's it. God doesn't need me. It is a privilege that he put me in the ministry, not because I am faithful, but because he took me as faithful. I'm not faithful. I'm not worthy. Nobody here is. But we are all capable if we are willing. Every single one of us has a place in God's word. Hey, young people, you go to a company looking for a job, and you will have to bring a resume. Where do you go to school? How many degrees do you have? Are you bilingual? Or do you know how to deal with computers? And so many questions. And you go through HR and a number of questions and a huge interview and checking your past. And well, here at the church, you can be a success like this quick. You just need to say, here am I. Send me. What can I do? And I'm not talking about everybody being a missionary, no. I'm not talking about everybody getting into full-time ministry, no. But you can be tremendously successful in this church just by saying, what can I do? Nobody will ask you how many degrees you have. Nobody will ask you. Listen, I've had the opportunity to go to college, and I have a master's degree in Bible. I have a master's degree in Christian ministry. I have a master of divinity. I'm taking a doctorate of ministry. In Amazing Grace, when I joined Amazing Grace, nobody asked me about that. I didn't have the need to say a word about that. They just looked at me and said, are you saved? Yes. Do you have a passion for souls? Yes. They talked to me a little more than that, but I didn't need a degree to travel all over Latin America and see people saved and lives transformed and churches trained. You need a degree out there, and you need to be a summa cum laude and all of that things. Here at the church, it's like this quick. You can be a blessing. You just need to be available. You just need to be willing to leave the comfort behind. There is nothing wrong in having these wonderful, comfortable chairs. I wonder how many of us would say no to come to church if we don't have this church. I've seen people walking 5 miles to go to church. 5 miles every Sunday, picking up kids on the way. But here in America, we are all about comfort, right? And we like our comfort. Well, let me tell you something. You can be comfortable serving Jesus, and God will still bless you. You just need to put others before. What will be said about your service? Moses was willing to leave the comfort behind. Moses was obedient to God's calling regardless of his weaknesses. Like 7 times, verse 11, verse 13 in Exodus 3, Exodus 4:1, Exodus 4:10, Exodus 4:13, Exodus 4, all complain. No, I can't. No, look for another person. No, I'm not capable. And God said, I'm telling you, you are the one that I have chosen to do this. And I will help you. And I will equip you. And I will send you somebody to help you. But you will say yes to me because I'm Almighty God and I want you to serve me. God is God in your life, or your money is your God. Your car is your God. Your job is your... Oh, Pastor, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to come on Sunday mornings. I have been offered a raise if I work on Sundays. God has blessed me with that. I have been praying for getting that promotion, and the Lord finally answered that prayer. And now the only thing is that I'm not going to be able to come to church Sunday mornings. Well, let me tell you something. That was not God. That was Satan. It's that simple. That was Satan. Today is the Lord's day. And if you're a Christian, you should be here. Not working, not here. Here, getting ready to go there and be a blessing. Moses was able to accomplish God's goals for the people of Israel. Verse 12 here. You see, it's the last verse already. So for those of you that are thinking when I'm going to stop, I'm about to stop. Okay? Yeah, that's Satan who is telling you, when is this going to stop? That's Satan. That's not God. And in all that mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Today, we don't do wonders or miracles because those gifts already ceased. And we can serve God, but not necessarily by doing miracles. And this crowd that you see out there, that I have the power to heal, but I'm sick. I have the power to heal, but my mother is in ICU. I have that, all that's the show. We don't do wonders and miracles like that, but we still need to put our time, our treasures, and our talents to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not need smart people. He does not need special people. He just needs people who understand that they need to prioritize God's plan over their own selfish plans. And people who are not only willing, but resolved. You have noticed already that English is not my first language. I don't have to explain you that, I think. But help me out here. When you say, I am willing to do this, is that the same that if I said, I am resolved to do this? It's not the same, right? Willing is I have a desire. Okay? Resolved is I will do it. I will do it because He is worthy. We need to stop from being willing and start being resolved. We need to stop coming to this altar or making plans on January 1st. Oh, this year I will give more to missions. Oh, this year I will go out soul winning. Oh, this year I will teach a class. Oh, this year I will sing in the choir. Oh, this year. And then on January 15th, all that is gone again. And we have lost another year. And God in His mercy is allowing you another year for you to think about that and for you to understand that He's expecting from you that you serve Him. We need to prioritize God's plan. We need to be resolved, not only willing, resolved to do what God is expecting for us to do. In summary here, we have a limited life. And like Moses, one day we will die. Like Nathan Kissel. Young people, one day we will die, meaning that we will no longer be able to serve the Lord on this side of eternity. The book of Psalms, chapter 90 and verse 10, Moses wrote that the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, 80 years old, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. However, God allowed Moses to live 120 years, and he left a tremendous legacy and tremendous example for us to follow. The purpose of our life on this earth is to glorify God with the way we use our time, our talents, and our treasures. He has given us all of that to serve Him. Our mission is the Great Commission. Our purpose is to bring glory to God. We only have one life to offer, and we don't have too much time left, and we can die tomorrow. The only requisite to die is to be alive. Just think about that. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. Is God pleased with the way you're living? If we die today, what will be said about our influence? What will be said about our relationship with the Lord? What will be said about our service? Three little applications, and I let you go. Look into your heart and find out what is getting in the way of you serving the Lord the way He wants you to serve Him. Look inside. Also, look into your calendar and make it a priority to get involved in God's work through this local church. And finally, look around you and make it a purpose to be a God's instrument to meet other people's needs. I don't know if you do invitations here. I'm going to let you close. But this was the message that God laid on my heart for you. And I hope that it is an encouragement to you, to your church, and to your life, and to your family. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Once we are gone, what a powerful theme to think about. It's actually find it very interesting. The last two or three weeks, the Lord has put that upon my heart very strongly and trying to focus. And I think one of the things that the Lord has least, I don't know how formulating it more in light of what the message was today, but I would say that big influence is always made up of small choices on a daily basis to do what's right. And it's not about doing some great deed tomorrow. It's about doing the right thing today and the next day and the next day. And God uses that over a long period of time to make a big influence for Him. And so may God help us. If He's speaking to us, we're going to just have an invitation song. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 395. 395.